Wonderful. Oh, we got so many children today, right? Wow, that's wonderful. Happy New Year to all of you.
Happy New Year.
Yes, yes. I like that. We have started the 30 days of spending the time with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And many of you are getting the emails every day, a devotional piece. And some of you wrote to me and also say to me in person that they are really enjoying reading those devotionals. And I had a person who also sent an email to say, please add my email address. So if you're not aware of it and you want to be in the mailing list, you can talk to Jerry or me or any of the staff, and we'll be happy to add the email list for you to receive the devotional. You'll be receiving until the end of the month. The Celebrate is out, our newsletter. I have a write-up on what is our spiritual DNA, because we're starting with that. And also on the importance of prayer and fasting. So you can also read why we do what we do. Why we do what we do. So the Celebrate on the website, you can go and read on that. There are other wonderful things on outreach, on family life ministry, on the library, youth, many more, if I missed. There's some of them that are there. So make use of that tool. And today, I am very excited to start this new series. It's codes, the code, the genetic code. And the question that I want to ask is, what is our spiritual DNA? And the code number one is compassion. So we're going to talk about compassion. So this is very, very important for the long-time members and for those who are visiting today. This is who we are. This is what we want to be. And this is what we are praying about that we will be. So we're going to talk about our first DNA is compassion. We're going to talk on five C's in January. And those five C's, we are praying that hopefully there will be our DNA. So the word compassion, we're going to talk about compassion. And who is the leader and savior of your life?
Jesus Christ.
Do we have only just a couple of them? Or who is your leader?
Jesus.
Yeah, like, yes, amen. When we look at Jesus, when we look at our leader, our savior and our leader, you look at how he lived, what he did, what he said. One of the things you will notice in him is that he was moved with compassion, and then he did many great things. You read the Bible, New Testament, the Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you will find that many of the miracles that he did, many of the miracles, I didn't say all of them, many of the miracles that he did, before he did the miracles, what was he moved with? Yes, he was moved with compassion, and then he did the miracles. This is very important for us to know how the Lord lived and do things on this earth. He is my teacher. I looked at him. I follow him and I study him and see what he is doing, how he lived here on earth. So, stay with me here, Santa Clara First Baptist Church, SCFBC from now on. It's a Santa Clara First Baptist Church. The height and the width of the church is directly related to the depth of the church. Eh? Are you with me? I'm going to say this again. The height. Can you say height? The width is directly related to the depth of the church. We cannot grow taller and bigger. See, it's related to how deep we are walking with the Lord. That's for the church. And for you too, young people. You want to experience great thing in your life. You want to go high. You want to grow big. And if you're concerned about the height and the width and only focusing on climbing and getting bigger and not taking care of how deep you will be, you will not get there. You will not gain any ground. We have to take care of our depth. We can only do that by connecting to God, by reading His Word, by worshiping, by fellowshipping with others. You cannot do it on your own. See? So, we want to find out in this sermon series, on even here, how, because we're talking about compassion, how we can respond to suffering with compassion. How can we alleviate suffering through kindness, mercy, and showing compassion to other people? See, compassion in biblical Greek means, it doesn't matter, I don't need to say the Greek because it'll sound Greek anyway, right? Splanknisomai is Greek, so it's Greek anyway, okay? So the meaning, the biblical meaning of the Greek word compassion is to be moved to one's bowels, okay? To be moved to one's bowels. Because it was thought and believed that the seed of love and pity is in the bowel. Right? So you may think, oh, that's a strange explanation of compassion. But let me ask you one question this morning. Has anyone had a bowel movement? Don't go yet. You see the Corey. You remember those times when you had to really go, right? You can't sit. Just imagine that every day of your life you have a bowel movement of compassion. That you got to go. You got to love somebody. You got to show acts of kindness. You got to show grace. You can't just sit around because it's in your bowel. It's moving. Just imagine our church on the go with compassion. That didn't come out right. But you're getting the point, right? It's somehow getting there. Okay. Okay, let's come back. Let's start over again. Happy New Year. Oh, what did I eat and drink this morning? I hope this is not one of the jokes that you laughed the whole sermon, you know? Okay. Serious face. So when I was praying in Indiana, before I came here, I was praying for the church. I'm saying, Lord, what is it? What is it about this church? Why are you calling me? Why is this church calling me? What is it that you want us to do together in the kingdom of God? And as I was praying with my computer lap, sitting on the couch, the sun and the window behind me, and I'm reading and praying, and the Lord led me to Revelation chapter 3. Right? It led me to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verse 8. And this is the premise. And let me read it for you. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door. No one can shut it. You have little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Revelation 3, 8. So I said, Lord, what does this mean? What does this mean? Why are you giving me this word in relation to Santa Clara First Baptist Church? So I prayed, Lord, help me understand. So I went to the website. I read the church profile that Andrew sent to me again. And I'm cleaning through it and trying to connect the scripture. And I was understanding a little bit more of the church through this scripture. Then I came out here in July. Many of you didn't know it was a secret mission, right? And when I came out here and I met Pastor Rich and Susie, my wife and I, and we were eating in his favorite Italian restaurant. And then it hit me. Okay, it hit me about this verse. I got this clarity there from listening to Pastor Rich. And it's about the nature and character of our church. That this church has been faithful in the Word of God. This church may not be as big as the other church in this city, right? Because you have little strength. But you have been faithful. You have been faithful in biblical teaching. You have been faithful not to compromise to the popular demand of the country and the nation and other churches. And say, okay, now I understand Santa Clara First Baptist Church has been faithful. And God has seen the work. And I have set an open door. Okay. I have set for you an open door. So I want to talk about this open door and compassion together. Okay. Open door and compassion together. So, what do we do with an open door? See? If God has set us an open door, what do we do? What are we going to do with an open door? Right? So, there are different kinds of doors. Let's say we may be very cautious even though we have an open door. You know? Because you're cautious about people that comes in. So even if it's an open door, you want to close it a little bit and just give a little space to see, hi, who are you? You know, can I trust you? What kind of reception people are going to get when they come through our door? Or you may be just a little higher than cautious, fearful. You may be afraid. You may be afraid of strangers walking into our church. You may be afraid of somebody that doesn't look like you and talk like you coming into the church. So, you know, I'm not sure about this. We want our church to grow, but, you know, not you. Not you. Not your kind. Or we can do this thing. We can say, hey, come on, walk right in. It's an open door. Santa Clara First Baptist Church. I have been waiting for this sermon for 2 months. For 2 months to begin with this. God has set for us an open door. He spoke to me through His Word and revealed to me about our church. What are we going to do with this open door? How are we going to welcome people into the house of the Lord? I want us to welcome them with compassion. Compassion. Not being fearful, cautious, afraid. When they come in, I want them to feel loved and cared for, that this is a safe place. Compassion. We say here, here to serve. Do we have a heart to serve? Do we have a heart to serve? Do we have a servant heart, not just a heart? Do we have a servant heart to serve? Do we have a compassionate heart? So the premise is that we have set an open door. That's the premise. What is our practice? What should be our practice? What should be our disposition as a follower of Jesus Christ? The disposition of compassion to serve other people. Because compassion is not easy. You think it's easy? No, it's not easy. Compassion is very hard. Do you know why? Because when we have compassion, we have to be willing to go to the place where somebody is hurting and be with them in the place where they are hurting. That's compassion, right? But what is our natural response to suffering? We want to stay away from it and fix it. We don't want to be there. That is not our natural response. Suffering, no, no, no. Loneliness, no, no, no. Depression, no. We don't want to do anything with that. But when we have compassion, we have disposition to go to the place where somebody is suffering and be with them. That's compassion. That's why it's hard. That is why it's hard to be compassionate. It's more than the handshake and the fist bump, you know, and a hug. Do whatever, you know. It's more than that. It's more than that. It is willingness to go to the place where people are bitter, angry, and be compassionate in their anger, in their unforgiveness, with the love and kindness and mercy of God. Mercy, compassion, is a spiritual gift. Can we say spiritual gift? Yes, mercy is a spiritual gift. This is why it is important for us to go and look at our church website. In the church website on the front page, you will see the SHAPE tool. Right? The SHAPE tool is to allow you to figure out what your personality is, what your spiritual gifts are, where God might be leading you to serve. I encourage you, SEFBC, to take your SHAPE test. Because SHAPE Summit is coming very soon. You will hear about the SHAPE Summit from the board very soon. I have taken the test. I did the test. It took me less than 45 minutes, although it says 45 minutes. It didn't take that long for me. But it can change your life. Because you can find out what your gifts are or what your gift is. And if compassion is your gift, if mercy is your gift, then I want you to serve here in this church using your compassionate mercy gift. Because there are a lot of people that are hurting. There are a lot of people that are hurting, my friends, that are suffering. And we need you to work in the kingdom of God. You don't have to be preaching here all the time. You don't have to be in front of people to be compassionate. People may not even know you. But the person who is hurting will know you. The person that you minister to will know you. Because you have that gift. You have that gift. I have set for you an open door. Let us not underestimate compassion. Romans 12 verse 8, it says, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. With cheerfulness. It's a gift. Those who are able, those who have this gift, those who have this gift are able to weep with those who weep. Those who have this gift are able to bear one another's burden. Galatians 6:2, Romans 12:15, weep with those who weep. So five things today, right? First one is that, let's look at Jesus. Jesus had compassion with the marginals, those who are outcasts. He had compassion for them. Right? Jesus had compassion with on the marginals. Who are on the marginals at that time? It was the lepers. The lepers, they are not, see, in Samaria, in Galilee, they're not there. There's a bit of a zone that they will live because they're neither there here. They're an outcast. People don't mix with them. People don't have compassion on them. They stay away from them because they're ugly, dirty. But who had compassion? The Lord Jesus. He had compassion on the lepers. He called them, cleansed them, welcomed them. How are we doing welcoming the outcast? Do we have a little door ajar? Or walk right in. We've been waiting for you. What's our attitude? Jesus has compassion on the lost. Remember when he was teaching on the mountain? He saw multitudes. And he had compassion on them. See, so compassion. He had compassion on the lepers. And what did he do? He healed them. He cleansed them. You following the drift now? He saw the multitude, 5,000 men, not counting women and children. He saw compassion. He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without shepherd. And then they were hungry as they were teaching them. What did he do? He fed them. Because he had compassion, he fed the hungry. And there were baskets left. 12 baskets. And then Jesus had compassion on the sick. Because this, if you have a boy that throws himself into the fire, wouldn't you have compassion? Let's say if you have a man or a woman that throws herself or himself into the fire, wouldn't you have compassion? Jesus had compassion because this boy threw himself into the fire. No water to destroy him. And he healed him. Jesus had compassion on the weak, the widow, because the son had died. And he looked at her and he had compassion. And he raised the boy from the dead. He raised the boy from the dead. And Jesus has compassion on the stranger. Remember the priest and the Levite passing by the guy on the road who was injured? Christ is talking about himself. When this Good Samaritan came by, he had compassion. He picked up that guy, took him to the inn, and said, you know, you treat him, take care of him. I will even pay more when I come back. You please take care of him. Do we have that kind of compassion at this church? This should be our DNA. This should be our second nature. We should be disposed. We should have this disposition to take care of the weak, those who are tormented, those who are sick, those who are lost and hungry. We should have this disposition to welcome them, to feed them, to take care of them. This should be our church. This should be our church. I pray that this will be our church. Jesus had compassion on the wayward, the prodigal son. He squandered all the wealth and inheritance. Ended up eating with the hogs. There he realized that it was much nicer, warmer. The food were better in his father's house. We sang, what a good father. What a good, good father. My wife, she has never met or seen her father in her life. Her father abandoned my mother-in-law and her when she was about 2 years old. And when she was growing up to be 14, 15, there was a lot of identity crisis. And divorce in that area is just a big stigma. And she was probably one of the kids that had a divorced parent. It wasn't easy for her. It wasn't easy for her. People make fun for those kind of things. And she grew up as a Hindu. She didn't grow up as a Christian. She grew up as a Hindu, worshiping idols and trees, singing to them. But when she came to church, when she was around 14, 15, she had a marvelous encounter with God. And you know what God told her? I will be your father. That's what he told her. The thing that she was missing in his life, the crisis, the burden that she bears and carries, the shame and embarrassment that she has, being an outcast, a marginal, lost. And God had to tell her, God could have told her so many things. He told her one thing, I will be your father. She came to the Lord because of that. Compassionate father who went to a place where someone was suffering and say, I'll be here with you. I'll stand here with you. Come into the light. That's the kind of Father we worship today. That's the kind of God you and I serve. Our God is not an angry God. Our God is not a vicious God that you read about, that you hear about in the television, that you read about in the newspaper. I have never encountered the God that I serve to be vicious, bitter, and angry. For me, he has always been compassionate, loving, welcoming, merciful, full of grace. That's the kind of God that I know and I serve. If you're lost, hungry today, come back to him. Come back to him. I want to give a challenge this morning. And the challenge is, one of my favorite authors, compassion asks us to go where it hurts, to enter into places of pain, to share in brokenness and fear, confusion and anguish. Compassion challenges us to cry out with those in misery, to mourn with those who are lonely, to weep with those in tears. Compassion requires us to be weak with the weak, vulnerable with the vulnerable, and powerless with the powerless. Compassion means full immersion in the condition of the human being. Can we do that today? Can we immerse ourselves in the condition of someone fully and understand them? Henry Nouwen, one of my favorite authors. Let us prepare ourselves today to receive the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there is nothing but compassion here. There is nothing but compassion here.